watched as much TV as us, you'd make this podcast too. On TV Winner, we'll show you which shows you should watch. We hope you don't waste as much time as we do watching TV, binging all the shows, watching my computer just die.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to TV Winner Podcast. I'm Beth.
I'm Hannah.
And hello again. Welcome back, or welcome, period. Either way, you are welcome. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, and you're also welcome for the content we're about to give you.
Daddy made you your favorite open wide.
No. Okay, well, if this is your first time, I'm just skating right over it. If this is your first time, awesome. What do? Well, every week we choose a type of TV episode. It's the kind of stuff you'll find on TVTropes.com. You know, we do parties, weddings, cliffhangers, bottle episodes, etc. And then we pick a favorite. We rate each episode in four different categories, give it up to 5 points in each, and whichever has the highest average out of 20 wins. It's a very scientific way of recommending you the best.
All science, all data, hard facts.
Yeah, we definitely took so many science classes in our educational years.
Both of us.
It's not like we went out of our way to go to like a university that didn't require us to take science prerequisites.
Mine was shocking nobody who listens to this podcast. Part of my decision to go to U of R was so that I would not have to take any math classes.
Totally. Yeah. Because also, I mean, well, it's just so annoying. It's like,
I don't need to know calculus.
Like, I know I'm not going to be like an engineer or anything. I don't need to go beyond high school math.
Like, there is zero reason that I need to know calculus.
Yeah.
Not once in my life have I ever run into anything where it was like, oh, it'd be really great if I knew calculus.
Yeah, like, it can be great if you're doing a thing that needs it, but, like, as an average person, like, the hardest math I ever have to do is, like, calculating tips.
Yeah.
You know, like, which isn't very hard anymore.
Yeah,
because of calculators, but, yeah.
Yes. Also, I want to potentially apologize in advance. It is stormy as hell where I am, so if you hear a lot of spooky thunder in the background, my apologies. Who knows? Maybe it'll be well-timed, though, and it'll punctuate things we are saying. We'll see.
You'll say something dramatic, and then a clap of thunder will appear in the background.
Girl can dream.
That's interesting. It's really sunny where I am, but in the forecast, I think it's supposed to be stormy tomorrow, so it might be traveling downward.
Yeah. It's we had a really bad one last Monday, too. We lost power. 16,000 people in Pittsburgh lost power last Monday.
Oh, right. I heard about that.
It sucked. Sucked a lot. Anyway.
Let's get into it.
Okay. Yeah.
So before we get into today's trope of choice, we are going to talk a little bit about new things we've been watching. So Hannah, do you have any recommendations for the folks?
Well, I finished Cruel Summer.
We both did. Yeah.
We both did that. And it was good. So I've been recommending that to people in my life.
Totally.
I went to my friend Maura's house and we watched Twilight on Friday night. You know, it's been a year since my Twilight watch through. So yeah, on Friday I had a really interesting day of just like old childhood movies. During the workday, Rachel came over. And we watched Shrek 2 and Shrek the 3rd and half of School of Rock.
Oh, School of Rock is so good.
It is so good. And she and I both have massive crushes on Jack Black, especially movie. So yeah, we watched that. And then I went to my other friend's house and we watched Twilight. So that was good. I feel like I watched something else in the last 2 weeks, but I can't remember what. So must not have been. Oh, I started that Netflix show Manifest. It is.
Oh, well, technically it's an NBC show.
Well, yeah, but okay, fine. It's on Netflix
now. Fascinating.
It's not very good. It's like weirdly religious.
Mm.
So far.
I can see that.
Like, it's just interesting enough that, like, I had it on the background for a couple days, and I might, you know, do that again, because it really doesn't take, like, any brain power. But it's also, like, weirdly religious. So, anyway.
Yeah, I've only ever seen commercials for it, so I don't really know much, but I get that. For me, it's fascinating how, like, when I think of that show, I think of how, like, some actors, you know, you see them and you're like, you are just pretty or handsome enough to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, they're just very, like, kind of bland, pretty people on that show.
Yeah, that's an accurate assessment.
But that's just what I think every time I see the thing.
Like, I don't know who any of them are. Not a single person is, like, famous. I mean, I guess they are now, but they don't have, like, a big name on that show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of it.
No.
I think I read a, because I, once I started getting religious vibes, I Googled it and I was like, is this show like religious-y? Like,
and what's going on here?
Yeah, like, am I secretly like gonna be converted? Like, I don't know. And it was like, basically, like, they sold it as This Is Us meets Lost, which is accurate.
Of course.
And not something that should be combined, I don't think. I don't think those two shows really.
Yeah. Well, I guess some people like it. I guess, you know, it's like,
people really do like it. They're pissed that it got canceled.
Yeah. NBC has been canceling a lot of stuff. And I'm like, what is even going to be on your network? Like, you know, you have hours to fill, right? Anyway.
Maybe they've got a lot of new stuff in the works. I mean, that'd be good. They don't have very much that's, like, great on NBC right now.
No. Very so, little.
Like, maybe they're trying to revamp.
It's really quite sad how increasingly, like, every this is gonna make me sound so so Monica Geller or something, but like, but not in a useful way. Like, every year I sort of keep track of all the shows that I watch, and I have a little spreadsheet, and I put like what network or like streamer they're on and stuff. And it is, I don't know, I find the data interesting, but like, each year I've been watching more and more, like, streamers, you know, compared to even, like, 4 years ago, probably, there was, like, a fair amount of network stuff. And now, like, each year it's just getting whittling down.
Yeah,
but it's
like,
funny.
None of the networks have anything good right now.
Yeah, it is funny, though, that, like, at the same time, a lot of the streaming shows are airing weekly. So it's kind mm-hmm. it's like replicating the old network experience, but it's just on a different platform. So it's like this weird like progression, but also not regression, but like kind of like take moving, like, you know, combination of old and new. So
yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of a bummer to me. Like, NBC used to be the network. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, CBS, gross. Now it's like they're all kind of equally bad.
Yeah, it's all like, you know.
Yeah.
A big meh.
Yeah, big, just across the board, meh. Anyway, that's all. I think that's it. I have this feeling that I watched something else, but I don't remember. So must not have been that exciting.
Guess not.
Oh, I watched Feel Good Season 2.
Oh, you did. Cool.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Like it?
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think that show's great.
Yeah, I was realizing I think I like it a lot because in that season they did the thing that characters on TV infamously never do, which is communicate.
Yes.
You know? Like, by the end of the season, I was so happy when they were both at a point where they're basically being like, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. What do you think? And like, this is what
awesome.
I need from our relationship. I was like, amazing. Like,
yeah, it was
incredible.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was great. So, yeah, I thought it was really good. That's it for me, though. What about you?
Every week, I always wait for you to ask. Say, she could ask about me.
Well, we have a format. I always assume
yeah,
you're just going to do it.
Barge in and
no,
be
I know.
Like, about
and,
boo.
And so But yeah, I do try to ask.
Okay. Well, I watched a lot of stuff, actually. So I'm going to try and run through them. Some of these I watched a little while ago, but I forgot to mention them last time. Okay, so I also finished Cruel Summer. We talked about that a few episodes back, so you guys can kind of check that out if you want our feelings about the show in general. But y'all should watch it. It'd probably
the ending
be a
was
pretty
good.
Fun binge watch.
Ending was very good, too. They really
brought it. I think they really kind of nailed it, where, like, everything felt... It was still surprising, but not... But it was the thing where as soon as you were like, oh, yeah. Like, you were surprised, but then you're like, makes perfect sense.
Like, yeah, and, like, they managed to really answer all the questions without it feeling, like, too expository.
Yeah.
Because what they just ended up having the characters talk to each other. Another communication episode.
Yeah, where you're like, this could have been figured out earlier. But also at the same time, like, I think what this show is, why it's so good is because it's not just, like, this sort of, like, pulpy, like, crime soap opera thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of a character study in a way. Like, it really is interested in all of its characters and what they're going through. And I don't think these characters actually could have been capable of talking to each other before this
no,
point.
No, definitely not.
So
definitely not.
You could say, like, oh, well, they could have cleared it up earlier, but I don't think they necessarily could have.
I don't think they could have, honestly.
Yeah.
I think, like, everything that happened, we needed all of that to get to there.
Right.
To the point where that was possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, Cruel Summer ended. I also finished watching the show on HBO Max called Hacks. You'll find some people on the internet who, like, totally love it.
Is
I
that
think
the
it's
one
good.
With the girl from Sunny?
Yes, she is in that. Actually, thank you for saying that, because I wanted to point out she is the actress, Caitlin Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
She plays the daughter of one of the main characters, Jean Smart. She plays this, like, sort of like groundbreaking female comic, sort of a workhorse, vaguely modeled after, like, Joan Rivers, you know,
mm-hmm.
just like working. And she's great. Then, like, the Caitlin Olsen, you know, like, I've seen her in a couple things, and, like, sometimes her, like, thing kind of bothers me, like, her whole, like, thing, you know.
Yeah.
But she's really good in this. Like,
I'm sure
I
she
really
is.
Like her character.
Everyone on Sunny is very, very talented, but they just
like,
you
know,
are doing such a specific
have,
thing, and they've been doing it for so long. You know.
Yeah. Anytime I've seen those people in anything else, I've enjoyed them, but.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they're good on Sunny. It's just not my cup of tea.
Right. Like, they just, like, but, I think, you know, they've been doing it for, like, 15 seasons.
Yeah.
And it's so specific and weird. And so, like, I think we forget that they're actually, like, very good actors and writers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's in this. And, like, the show is kind of, it's like a mix of comedy and drama, I think. It's actually created by a few people who used to work on Broad City, including Lucia Ainello and Paul Downs, a.k.a. Trey, right?
Yeah,
that was his name?
Trey!
On Broad City. He also has a small role in this series, and that's pretty funny. Yeah, anyway, I enjoyed the show. It's kind of chill. I enjoyed watching it while eating dinner every Thursday.
That's
but,
nice.
Oh,
I remember what I've been watching.
Oh, what?
Lego Masters Season 2!
Oh, my God.
Me and Michael love Lego Masters. Saying dinner reminded me because we watch it when we eat dinner on Wednesday nights. Anyway, continue.
I was just going to say Hacks is the one, like, sort of hard thing about getting into Hacks is the other main character, this young woman named Ava, is kind of difficult to root for sometimes. But I do like when she's with the Jean Smart character because they're both kind of these, like, prickly women and they're kind of butting heads a lot. But she can be a frustrating character sometimes. But so can Jean Smart, but she's Jean Smart, so we're like, you know what, you've earned it. Like, you know,
we love to see prickly lady characters going at it.
Yeah. Okay, what else? I also watched this documentary miniseries on FX just called Pride.
Okay.
That it's like, wait, five or six parts. I can't, maybe six, let's say six. And it's so six episodes. Each episode is a covers a decade of like queer history from like the 50s onward, and each episode is directed by different people. And I think that's the key thing, is like, so everyone is like covering events of the decade, but in a really into like a really unique way. Everyone comes to it with their own perspective and their own stylistic flourishes and whatnot. So it becomes super interesting
That's
that way to
cool.
kind of see things through like in a specific but then wide lens, if that makes
That's very
sense.
cool.
Let's see. And then I binged a few things on Netflix. I watched this series called Worn Stories. It is
Interesting.
a nonfiction. It's based or like inspired by this book this woman did, where it's like, I haven't read the book, but it's like basically talking about the sort of relationships people have with their clothing. And it was a lot more interesting than I expected, and a lot more like creatively made. There's like animation and stuff, like they really go all out. But there's some really interesting stories in there that people tell, like they sort of spotlight a few each episode around a theme. And it was just super interesting and really compelling. All right, and then I also watched on Netflix that I briefly told you about, this series called Waffles and Mochi. It is definitely for kids,
Oh, right.
but
You, yes. I thought you meant you
it
told me about it
is,
on the podcast. No, you texted me about
oh
it.
no, yeah. But it is so freaking cute. It follows these two like puppet friends, Waffles and Mochi. And Mochi doesn't speak. He just has this little like me 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 like noises. Which is so adorable. And they
Funny.
go on this journey. They work at a grocery store run by Mrs. Obama. Yes, that one. And
What?
I mean, yeah, I mean it's like produced by the Obamas, it's part of their thing, and you know Michelle Obama's about like getting kids to eat healthy and everything, so it's part of those
What is
passions.
the what's the there's a joke about that, I think, in Parks and Rec, where they're like, you want to kill all the fat children or something. What
Oh my god, oh
is
gosh,
that
I'm sure there
from?
is. Yeah,
Anyway,
I don't
sorry.
know.
Continue.
Yeah, it's just a really cute show. If you have kids or you babysit or you have young relatives, you should get them to watch it, because it's like digestible for adults as well, and educational, honestly. Like every episode, they sort of focus on one food or like ingredient. So they do like tomatoes, they do potatoes, they do herbs and spices,
Oh,
they do
that's cute.
mochi, because mochi's like, where am I from? And they're like, what's let's find out what you are. Or wait, no, is the episode on rice? I think it is. And then it becomes about mochi. Anyway, but it's very cute. And they have like some songs. Like in the first episode, they have
I'm gonna
Thea
watch the
singing a
shit out of
song
this.
about how tomatoes are fruits, not vegetables. Oh, they have a song about umami.
Yum. We love it.
It's very fun.
Speaking of umami, we bought like MSG recently and been putting it in our foods. High recommend. Instant upgrades on everything and anything. Just so you know.
Interesting. Isn't that like bad for you though?
No, it's not bad for you guys. The reason we did it, we watched a whole like YouTube science cooking guy about MSG and the like stigma and all of this stuff and the history and whatever. But no, it's not bad for you. It's
Well, let's
just
ask Mrs. Obama about that.
umami flavor. It's really great. It's really cheap too. Just go to like any like Asian specialty store. You can get a bunch of it for really cheap and you just sprinkle a little bit in basically anything and it just makes it taste better.
Interesting.
That's all. That's all I have to.
Okay, and then a few more. A few weeks ago, well, like, maybe a month ago at this point, I don't know. I watched Ted Lasso for a second time with my mom. Watched it with her.
Oh, cute.
And she really enjoyed it, like I thought she would. And, yeah, it's great. Honestly, if I didn't have a ton of shows I wanted to get to, I would watch it again right now. So, yeah, the second season is coming out in July, so I'm excited.
I opened Apple TV for, like, the first time ever today for this episode.
Yes.
And I saw Ted Lasso on there, and I thought to myself, now that I realize that I have an Apple TV Plus subscription, I think I'm going to watch this. So
you should. I'm excited. It just makes me feel good, and it makes me want to be a better person. I'm like, this is television, you know? But
that's
it's
great.
Like more than television. Okay, no. okay, and then finally, well, two more. I watched this series on HBO Max again, but it's a British series. I don't know if it aired there first. I feel like maybe, but it's called Starstruck. It stars a New Zealand comic actress, Rose Matafeo. It's a fun name, honestly. And she stars as this sort of, not bumbling, but like a little bit Londoner. Well, she's New Zealand, but she lives in London. Mm-hmm. And she happens to have this one night stand with this hot guy. And then she finds out that this hot guy is like this sort of up and coming, like famous actor. And it sort of like goes on from there. There's only six episodes, but it's structured like throughout a calendar year as these two people kind of like go into and out of each other's orbits, and like it kind of reminds me of the first season of Love, in that you're waiting for them to like, there's all these like stops and starts, and you're kind of waiting for them to like just be together, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot sweeter than Love. You know, Love was very dark, and also Gus was horrible. You know, everyone knows how I feel about him. But yeah, Starstruck, both the leads are very charming, very cute. It's just like a great like romantic comedy, honestly. And then by the finale is so great, and it just made me feeling all like, oh, like hard eyes, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend. And then finally, I watched on Peacock another British series called We Are Lady Parts, and it is about this band, this punk band called Lady Parts. Hence the title.
I love that. I love that for them.
Yes, that comes together. They're pretty amazing. The main character, she is this sort of like, not goody two shoes, but like kind of like PhD student, and she loves to play the guitar, and she loves like folk music, but she's terrified of performing. She gets terrible stage fright. But through a series of events, she gets sort of recruited by this punk band because she's really talented and they need a lead guitarist. And yeah, things happen. But then it's also cool because they're also like, all these women are so different and unique. They are all like Muslim immigrants, but they are all, I don't know. Each one is so unique. Even though there's only six episodes, I feel like you really like immediately know who they are, and like their relationships are so clearly defined to each other. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's just like women being awesome. And the songs are really good too.
I mean,
they have a couple original songs for the show.
We love a show with original songs.
Yes, truly. And Peacock has two great ones right now. What's going on over there? Nailing it. Yeah, definitely recommend. I watched it in a day. It just flew by. I love a six episode British sitcom.
Like, oh yeah,
bring them on.
I mean, because it's also like, if you know, even if it isn't the best thing you've ever watched, it's only six episodes, So you don't feel like you're wasting a bunch of time watching something mediocre, because it's like, even if it's not your favorite thing, you're like, that was a nice day.
True. There was another 6-episode British sitcom I watched that I didn't like as much, but I did almost think about stopping it, but I was like, but I'm halfway through. I might as well just finish the season. Anyway, so I am done.
Okay. All right, then should we get into it?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, this week, our topic is careful what you wish for. So, it's episodes where somebody gets something they've been wanting and realizing it's not all it's cracked up to be. Either through magic, an actual wish, or through just, you know, something they've been wanting and then they get it. We didn't constrain to, like, actual, like, wishes made to, you know, entities.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's
the same idea. It's you get what you've been wanting this whole time.
Yeah, and I think it's more relatable for people. I mean, we've all been in that situation, you know, and also, like, careful what you wish for, like, that trope is kind of, like, I mean, like, people say that, you know, in real life. It's not, it doesn't mean that you literally wished, and now it's, like, come to haunt you, you know, anyway.
I just realized that I picked the wrong episode. You know what I should have picked?
What?
The pilot of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Interesting.
Because she finally makes partner.
I don't know. I mean,
it's what she's wanted, quote unquote. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that one's kind of...
It's okay. I like what I picked, too. Anyway. The categories this week. Sorry, my brain is all over the place. The categories this week are, what is the wish? What is the twist? The unexpected consequence? Why isn't it all it's cracked up to be? The lessons learned. And overall, as usual. So, before we get into our actual episodes, do you have honorable mentions?
Yep, just a few. So, one I think we both have is another Buffy episode, mm-hmm. The Wish. But we already did that for, like, alternate reality, I believe.
Yes.
And it won.
I mean, it's a great episode.
Yeah, it's great. That's kind of the, like... Otherwise, that would be kind of the definitive of this trope, because the whole thing is, like, Cordelia wishes.
Yeah.
What does she wish? Oh, that Buffy had never come to Sunnydale, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's overrun by vampires and demons, and everyone is dying.
Because she didn't... If she didn't come to Sunnydale, she couldn't stop the Hellmouth from opening. So.
Right, and she wouldn't have been there in season one when that guy, I forget, Fruit Punch Math, I forget his name.
The master, right? He's the master.
That's what I thought, but then I was like, yeah, I think that's it. He was planning to, like, take over the town or whatever, you know, so in this reality, he did, and it was bad.
It was no good, though we do get our first intro to Dark Willow, which is delightful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But also another Buffy episode, besides the one you chose, is from season 6, Older and Far Away. That was another instance of vengeance demon wishing gone awry. In that case, Dawn wishes that no one would leave her or something like that. So they all gather in the Summer's house for Buffy's birthday party. And then it, like, they, like, can't leave. It's like...
Yeah, like they're stuck inside the house.
Yeah, it becomes this, like, Twilight Zone-y thing at first where, like, they're all kind of hanging out. And they're like, yeah, we should go. But then they, like, never even try to leave. And then when they actually try and open the door, when they realize, like, hey, this is wrong, they can't do it.
And those are always kind of fun episodes of Buffy when something supernatural is, like, happening to them in that way.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
that's always, affecting... like... such an interesting, like, because, like, of course, like, things are happening to them that are supernatural, but oftentimes it's like, oh, there's a spooky mystery, we got to solve it, or like, oh, there's this, you know, big bad that we have to figure out how to defeat. I like these isolated Buffy episodes where it's like that, or like we also did the one, the amnesia tabula rasa, where they all lose their memory, and it's specific to them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always just like fun.
Yeah. Also, once more with feeling.
Right? Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's. Yeah. That's another careful what you wish for, too.
Is that a wish?
Isn't it? Doesn't... Well,
I
kind of, because...
just stole an amulet that summoned the guy or something.
Well, yeah, but... she, like, summoned... It was something like, I wanted people to be happy.
Interesting.
Like, there was the wrinkle to it of, like... She, it wasn't quite a wish, but it was, yeah, like a careful what you wish for, in a sense that, like, she wanted the mood to be lightened after Buffy came back from the dead.
Okay.
They have a lot of those in Buffy. They've got a lot of them.
Anyway, a couple other mentions. This one was listed on, like, the TV Tropes example page, but I don't totally agree with it, but I'll mention it anyway. Because I saw it not too long ago for the first time, this episode of Angel called Birthday. It's Cordelia's birthday. Mm-hmm. And she has been sort of the host of these, like, visions for a while, but they're kind of, like, killing her. Okay. They're, like, extremely painful, and they're basically, like, damaging her brain. So in this one, she gets to sort of see, like, an alternate timeline kind of thing, or reality, where she never fell in with Angel and the gang, and, like, just sort of continued her life in LA as, like, an aspiring actress and whatnot, and so she never had the visions.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason she goes into that reality is because in that moment there's this some sort of demon guy who's like, so would you like to go in this reality or something like that? Her other choice is basically to die at that point. And so she's like, okay. So it's not exactly, like, she doesn't exactly want to give up the visions, but she doesn't want to die because of them.
Right.
But then at the end, it's, like, resolved. She becomes part demon or demon, technically, so she can, like, handle the visions. It's all complicated. But basically, the point is, like, and it has, in this alternate reality, she sort of quickly becomes the Cordelia that we know. So it doesn't really change much.
Gotcha.
Within her. It just sort of seeing how the other people would be affected if she wasn't there to help them.
Yeah.
Now
that we're talking about this, though, I realize that most episodes of television and pieces of media are kind of a careful what you wish for. Basically every story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. If you really get down to it.
I mean, like, yeah, at its barest, it's like somebody wants something. Generally, they get that thing. And then there are complications.
Yeah.
It's like a pretty basic story building. Whatever.
Ooh.
Getting too in the weeds.
Okay, and then finally, there's two episodes of The Twilight Zone. One of them is, again, I think this was mentioned on TV Tropes, the episode Time Enough at Last, which is famously the one where the guy is always trying to find some quiet so he can just read his books and be left alone. But then he ends up being in some sort of, like, bank vault underground or something when basically, like, I don't know, nuclear war happens and everything gets destroyed. It doesn't say, but, or it does, but I forget. And so he comes out and no one's there, you know, everyone's gone. Like he kind of wanted, but then he, like, trips and falls and breaks his glasses or something. So he can't read anymore. But for me, that's more of a case of just, like, awful, like, irony rather than, like, careful what you wish for. Because he doesn't miss the people. There's no sign that he misses that.
Right.
Like, I believe when he comes out, his response isn't like, oh, my God. He's like, time enough at last to read my books. But it is just bitterly ironic that he needs other people to, like, fix his glasses.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's that. And then finally, this other episode I did kind of consider, but then it was a little it was my like fallback if I couldn't find anything else. Twilight Zone, The Man in the Bottle, where it's like this guy finds an actual genie and he's granted wishes, you know, but of course the wishes are always granted, not how he expects. So there's this one, which is particularly interesting now, where he wishes for $1 million, but then because of like tax or whatever, he loses like 90% of it. And I was just laughing. I was like, no millionaires paying taxes today. Like, you
Yeah.
know, anyway.
We could not get into it.
Yeah, they're like the one people who don't pay taxes.
Yes.
And then randomly though, the guy, he says he wishes for something weirdly specific where he's like, I wish I was a leader of a country and I couldn't be voted out of office.
So
So
you
the genie,
want to be a
oh, what were you
dictator?
gonna say? You're onto something. Yeah, the genie specifically turns him into Hitler in like his final days. I don't know why he had to put him at the end of his reign. I'm like, he didn't necessarily wish to be suicidal, but anyway, it's very bizarre. And then finally, he just wishes to be back where he was. But yeah, it's bizarre.
That's
But
a
it is
lot.
literally like an example of like you make a wish and there's always a catch, you
Yeah.
know, because that's also like a very specific magical trope.
Yes. You can't, the wish does not, it's not what you think it is. You have to consider the wording of wishes very carefully.
I know. Ridiculous.
It's very stressful.
Okay, so those are all my mentions.
Yeah, I mean, like, any show that deals in the supernatural has this, so Supernatural has a million of them. We've talked about one, kind of. The Dream a Little Dream of Me, I think it's called.
Is that also an alternate reality
It
episode?
is, it is. That was our
Yeah.
alternate reality episode. It's the one where they're hunting a djinn. And Dean gets put into an alternate reality slash dream world slash wish world where, like, because he's been dealing with, like, I wish I was never a hunter. I wish I didn't know about any of this stuff. And so he gets put into a world like that, but then he realizes within that world that if he was never a hunter, all the people who he saved would have died. So that. Yeah. So, but there's other ones that are along those lines as well. There's a bunch of also recurring trope in Supernatural of crossroads demons. Consider doing one of those episodes. Crossroads demons, you know, they'll give you what you want for 10 years, but then they come to collect your soul. It's essentially you've sold your
Oh.
soul to the devil. So there's a couple different episodes that deal with people who had sold their soul to crossroads demons and then like they come to collect.
Ugh.
So there's that. Then like the entirety of Lost, once they get off the island and then want to go back, is careful what you wish for. But I tried to pin down what episode is where they like leave the island and realize they need to get back, but it was impossible to do. To pin down like the
Yeah.
specific episode because of all the flash forwards and stuff, so that's an example of like a long running one, where like everything they're doing is in pursuit of getting off the island. They do, and then we have to go back.
Yeah.
Famously, Jack says, "We have to go back."
Yeah, I knew that. Even me. Yeah, serious.
So yeah. And then all the Buffy ones I had on my list, and that's kind of it. Let's get into it. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So, we already went through the categories, correct?
We did,
Okay.
indeed.
Okay, so the episode I chose is a new one, relatively, and a new show. This is Dickinson, season 2, episode 8. I'm Nobody. Who are you? It aired February 12th, 2021 on Apple TV Plus. And this is the episode where Emily Dickinson finally gets published in a regional newspaper. She's been wanting to do this for a while. She wants to sort of have her talent be recognized, you know, and be famous as, you know, you could be back then. So this is like the start to what she imagines is like a wonderful career. But then on the day that her poem is published, she wakes up and she is apparently invisible to everyone around her, pretty much. So she gets to see things and hear things she otherwise normally wouldn't. She gets a sort of taste of fame, all of the backlash and whatnot that you have to deal with. M. Dickinson being like a very modern telling of Emily Dickinson's life. You know, there's lots of sort of like commentary on like, or like jokes where like they're basically like Twitter people, mm-hmm. like in the community, just reacting to her poem and her art and everything. She has to deal with that. She also hangs out with this vision she's been seeing, this guy she calls Nobody.
I tried to warn you.
What the hell is going on?
You didn't listen to me.
Who are you and what are you doing in my kitchen?
I'm Nobody. Who are you?
Okay, this riddle is cute, but you're a ghost and you're the only one who can see me, which means I'm dead. I died in the night, maybe. Okay.
So there's that. Yeah, I mean, that's the gist of it. That's it, right? So the wish for this, I gave it a 5.
I was unclear on what the wish was. Was the wish to get published?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I gave it a 4.
Okay. Let's see. Like I just kind of said in summary, like she wants to be published and relatively famous, like I said, or well known. And I think this whole season, the second season, was interesting because it the creators have said like they kind of wanted to, you know, one of pretty much the only things people know about Emily Dickinson, if you ask them, is like, oh, she like lived in an attic. Not really, but like she you know, she was a recluse, as they say. But that's, you know, that's a whole other issue.
Mm-hmm.
But but basically like she never had her in reality, I think, I don't think she ever had poems published. This is a sort of hypothetical, mm-hmm. where they're wondering how did she get to the point maybe where she wanted to keep all of her poems for herself? Because she had so, so many, you know, died. And I think she actually wanted them to be burned. But then one of her relatives was like, no, like, the world has to see.
Right.
So there's that. They're kind of wondering, like, how do you, because for a lot of people, a lot of creative people, the impulse is to kind of be like, published in whatever form, you know, like you kind of want people to see the stuff that you made that you're so proud of.
Yeah.
And so it's like a question of like, how does one decide to keep all of that private? But anyway, so in this instance, you know, I understand she's at the point in her life, in her artistic life, where she just wants to be published. She wants the accolades. She wants the praise.
She wants everyone to know how clever she is.
Yes, true. Yes. so it made sense for me that is her wish. That's basically all I was saying. Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, I think I just marked it down because I think that makes total sense. I wasn't sure exactly what the wish was because there was also the possibility that like the wish was like to know what people thought of her work.
Okay.
So I just like, I honestly like wasn't sure exactly what. Most maybe because I'm not familiar with the show, but yeah, I just like wasn't I couldn't like fully pin down what the wish would have been, so mm-hmm. I, you know, I took a little off.
Okay. Okay, then the twist. I gave it a 4.5.
I gave it a 4.
Okay. Let's see. So the twist in this instance, in one sense is her becoming invisible, literally, which literally can't happen in our world that we know of. but also the twist is more like the reception not being what she imagined. Like she's surprised that she encounters these people criticizing her work, or like moving from liking it to hating it, and then people just sort of generally talking shit about her or assuming things about her. Like some people think it's about alcohol and they're like, oh, I bet she's easy or whatever, all these things.
Those two men.
And the two guys being gross, of course.
The grossest shit.
By a woman, she must be bold. I think it's really good.
Yeah, you can tell she's really smart.
Thank you.
And really lascivious.
Oh, wait, yeah, what? She wants it bad.
She lives in this town, we can find her.
No, that's okay.
Yes, let's go to her house.
Let's go to her house and let's jack off in the bushes.
I'm gonna jack off right on this palm.
Dealing with that. Let's go and jack off in her bushes.
I was ready to vomit. I was just like, men, ugh.
It's so horrible.
Ugh.
Also, literally imagine, like, you know, when they're like, oh, she lives here. Like, let's go to her house. Like, being in that position.
Like, oh, literally, God. Though, like, that's what men be like, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, so she. So that's one twist for her in a way that you see her dealing with, where she's like, I'm published, this is great, everyone's gonna be like, wow, Emily, you're the best, and they're gonna be so impressed with my poem. But instead it's like some people aren't impressed, some people don't care at all, a lot of people don't even understand her poem, and then they just toss aside the paper and it's like forgotten, you know. It's actually not a big deal to the majority of people. So I thought that was very believable.
Yeah.
And also would be kind of a rude awakening to a lot of people, especially Emily, as we've known her in this series.
I think I got less of that because I haven't watched it, though I'm planning to again now that I realize I have Apple Plus. But I was like, the reaction to the poem, I mean, like, seemed like exactly what one might expect. But I guess maybe she's a little bit, like, jaded. She doesn't understand.
Or, like naive.
Overly... Yeah, naive. That's the word I'm looking for. Overly confident. Because I was like...
Yeah, she is a bit.
Okay.
Like, she's kind of thinking, like, oh, I'm the smartest person in town. Like, no one is doing what I'm doing in Amherst, you know?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Because I, you know, watching it coming in blind here, I was like, this seems like... You know, the reaction a normal person would expect. Some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, also, there is the fact that Emily hasn't shared her poems with many people. And the people she has shared them with have, like, loved them. So, and, like, yeah. So there is also that where, like, this is putting her poems out into the world for the first time as, like, a general audience. Mm-hmm. Anyone can read, so of course she's going to be startled. Okay. So lessons learned. I gave this a 3.5.
I gave it a 4.
Oh, okay. Misconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really sure about this one, but whatever. I guess the lesson is kind of... See, this is from... My grade is from... having watched the whole season and series. So in this episode, she kind of learns the theme. It sort of becomes like there's some power in being invisible, but I don't think she fully... I think the bigger lesson she has to learn is that fame isn't really what she wants and isn't best for her art, or like... that isn't actually what she wants out of her poetry. So she eventually learns that at the end of the season, and I think that's the bigger lesson for her, because she's kind of been chasing this, you know, like, public praise and everything for a while. But in this episode, she does have that thing about, like,
you know, you're right.
Another creature.
I'm like... a beautiful perfume.
The notes of a song.
That feeling that you get at the end of summer.
Being invisible. It's power.
being invisible or being, quote, nobody could be a good thing. But I guess that's kind of sowing the seeds the future. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. I think the reason I gave it a slightly higher score is I really liked the scene where she's like listening to the freed slaves and learning that just because people in her world aren't talking about these things or thinking about like art and issues in the same ways that she is doesn't mean that other people aren't.
I'm just saying, your little ghost stories aren't liberating anyone.
My little ghost stories have subtext. I use the gothic genre to ask critical questions about women's experiences. And at least I'm not out here selling the same old minor personal anecdote for the past 10 years.
And that, like, perhaps a group of people who she did not look upon as knowing about this kind of stuff is ahead of her in appreciating these kinds of things. So I thought that was an interesting wrinkle. But maybe I'm incorrect about what was supposed to be taken from that, since I haven't seen the rest.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure either. But I guess it maybe is something a little bit of that, where it's just kind of a bit of her gaining perspective on things.
Because, like, the conversations they're having about, like, storytelling and writing and stuff are very high level. And I think that that was a big part of the lessons learned, is that, like, there's so much more for you to know, and there's so much more that, like, people outside of your group are doing.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Something along those lines. But, of course, I haven't watched the whole series, so I don't know exactly, like, what her relationship is with any of those people, or, like, what the rest of her family's doing, etc. But that's what I gleaned from that as, like, why it was included.
Yeah. Okay. So we can go into overall. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 4.
I gave it a 4.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really liked it.
That's cool.
I really liked it.
Oh, that's good. I wasn't sure, because I was like, this is a little wild sometimes. So I don't know.
No, it's like right up my alley.
Oh, cool. Yeah. There are definitely some funny moments. I love when – I forgot how silly and funny it is. Just simple pleasures to have these people in like period costumes saying stuff like, okay, slay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it just tickles me.
Like, yeah. I love and it. Like have the, you know, the barn dancing to like modern rap when they're all in these beautiful Victorian clothing.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing about that isn't delightful.
Yeah.
Very Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
Movie vibes, or like A Knight's Tale.
Oh yeah.
Two movies that I like love that they did that with the soundtrack. So of course I love this.
Totally. Yeah, what else to add? I wish there was more Lavinia, her sister. I love her so much. She was truly so funny. Even in her couple of scenes. I do love when her fiance is like practicing, he's like talking to himself, and then she just comes in and is like, we can all hear you. Like, I love when they acknowledge that on shows where it's like someone walks into the next room and it's supposed to be like private. And like, no, they're talking at full volume.
Yes.
I love that. And Hattie's also good. Played by the co-writer of the episode, actually. I just love her when she's looking at Austin and she's like, that's my boss. Like, and he's talking to himself.
Yeah.
She says, I have so many white secrets. And it's true. She works in Austin and Sue's house. And yeah, definitely.
There's all the white secrets
in there. Yeah. I guess I gave it a point off because I did wish there were more supporting characters. Like, Emily's family can be really funny when they have their moments. And and then also the finale is like, what? Like, I don't know. The thing about season 2, so Emily's Okay, so Emily's brother is Austin. He is married to Sue. Mm-hmm. But Sue and Emily are also lifelong friends, also ex-lovers. Mm-hmm. Always secret, of course. But yes. Then...
gal pals.
Yes, exactly. But then in this season, Sue is kind of like... Well, in the first season, she just lost all of her family, or her remaining family members. Her, like, defining trait is, my whole family's dead.
Oh, no.
And then she married Austin, and then she got pregnant, but then she had a miscarriage. She didn't tell Austin about either event.
That's sad.
Yeah. And so she's kind of, like, I don't know, self-medicating through, like, shopping a lot and buying a lot of stuff.
Me too, girl.
And the dress Hattie wears, actually, that was Sue's, where she's like, I wore it once. I can't wear it again. So Hattie's like, well, fine. Like,
she looked beautiful and, in it.
Yeah. Let me look hot.
I lost my shit when she took off that cloak. I was like, damn. Ooh,
yeah.
Mm.
And then, oh, yeah. So Sue is making some bad choices this season that I don't understand. And so this newspaper guy, Sam, right? He was weird this season. He was like kind of flirting with Emily. He's like, I love your poems and I'm going to publish them. And then he like takes him forever to get one published.
Ew.
And then he has this sort of like reputation, you know, and then Emily sort of develops this crush on him. That's the whole thing. And then we learn in this episode that Sue is having an affair with him. And also this guy is married to some sickly woman who apparently is an old friend of Sue's. So it's all messed up. It's all complicated and bad. And I don't like it.
Sue sounds like she's having a hard time.
She is. Yeah, but it's a lot going on. And when this was revealed, I was like, come on. Also, to be honest, there are so many instances in the show where they have sort of like big reveal or like big moment, like sex scenes like this, but they're always sort of soundtracked to like this sort of generic, like modern pop electro music, whatever it is. And they're always a bit cringe for me. Like, I just don't like that stylistic choice very much, but yeah. Anyway, the ending is just very dramatic, although I do find it very believable that Emily's response to that is to force herself to watch. I'm like, yeah, she's very dramatic that way.
That did feel right to me, based on nothing at all.
You're like, I wouldn't, but she would.
She definitely would.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I gave it a 4. I liked it a lot based on, you know, just coming in, having no idea, like, what to expect outside of, like, what I'd heard about the show. I enjoyed myself. Thought it was really interesting. But I don't have anything specific to touch upon that we haven't already.
Cool, cool. Then I think my total comes to 17. And yours 16.5?
Yes, that is right.
Yeah, okay. So that would be
16.75, yeah.
I'll double check. Yes. Awesome. See, we don't trust ourselves with the numbers.
No. Like I said, we went to a school, so we didn't have to take math.
Yeah.
Least surprising.
Although I did end up doing math once in this, like, astronomy class I took.
Oh, that sucks. The worst.
And I scraped by with that. I was like, oh, God, no.
Yeah. The worst.
Anyway. Okay. Respectable.
All right.
16.75.
Yeah. So my choice this week is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 5, Episode 17, Forever, which aired on April 7th, 2001. And it's actually the follow-up to the real time episode. We did it for real time episode. Yeah, where Buffy's mother dies. So this is the one that directly follows that. So if you're interested in hearing about that one, seek out our real time episode. It was probably like a year ago. I don't remember. So anyway, doesn't matter. This is the episode where Joyce has died,
and they're kind of trying to deal with the fallout, and Buffy's, like, planning the funeral and trying to figure out, like, how she's going to manage, because, like, she also has, like, Dawn to worry about. Willow and Tara are hanging out with Dawn a lot, too. Dawn feels like Buffy is avoiding her and doesn't care that their mom has died, and so Dawn goes on a mission to bring her mom back from the dead via magic. And eventually seeks out Joel Grey with a tail. And
right.
does bring her back, but we don't ever see what it actually is, but she's a zombie. Like, she's definitely a zombie. It's heavily implied that she's a zombie.
Yeah. It's like, is it an O. Henry short story? I'm not sure. Like, the monkey's paw or foot or something, where these parents wish for their son to come back, but the thing is that he's been killed in this horrible, like, sawmill accident or whatever, so, like, he comes back as his, like, mangled corpse rather than
the person. It's also, like, Pet Cemetery. That kind of
vibes. Oh, sure, vibes. Yeah.
So, yeah, so she comes back. We think she's probably a zombie based on everything they've said thus far. And before we see what she is, Dawn decides that this is wrong, and she destroys zombie Joyce by destroying the picture of Joyce. And that's kind of the episode. Okay, so for The Wish, I gave it a 5.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense.
Like, yeah, I mean, your mom dies. You want to.
Mom dies. You're a teen. You don't think your sister's paying attention to you. You don't know what to do. You want your mom back. Checks out. Also, you are in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so you know that magic exists and that you could probably do that. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like, that's what I was thinking about, too, where it's, like, of course, Dawn, like, this is hard for her to accept because they're surrounded by, like, magic all the time, and, like, they're right. always defeating these beasts and problems that seem, like, insurmountable.
Right.
So it's, like, well, why can't we fix this? You know?
Like, yeah, that like, would be I don't understand. To... Like, yeah. And it's fair. I mean, I would be really frustrated, too, if I saw magic happening all the fucking time. For all different reasons, but then the one thing I want, everyone's like, no, you can't have that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so the twist, unexpected consequences, I gave it a 3.5. Simply because, I mean, we just named two other very popular media things. Where this, I mean, it's like, this is the trope. Like, you bring someone back, but they're not quite right.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, it's not really an unexpected consequence. It's exactly the consequence that we all expect. So, you know, I mean, it makes sense. I'm not going to say it, like, doesn't make sense. It's the correct choice.
Yeah. Wait, what number did you give it?
3.5.
Oh, okay. Me too.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's the correct choice, but it's not, like, unexpected in any way, shape, or form. Like,
yeah, it's, and even from the beginning, they're saying, like, this could be bad, you know? So yeah. She realizes, like, just before they potentially see Joyce that, like, wait, like, if this is bad, I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to take that risk.
Right. I'd say that that is the, that's a wrinkle that's nice to this that does deviate from the trope. Because usually it takes, like, the person who wanted the person back or whatever, like, seeing it and figuring out that they're not right.
Yeah.
And deciding that it's better to be without them than to be with a wrong version of them through, like, experiencing the wrong version of them. So, like, this is a nice wrinkle where Dawn, before she even subjects her or her loved ones to the possible trauma of it, she's like, no, wait, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, it is, like, sad, like...
Kudos there.
Yeah, it is kind of heartbreaking, like, that by the end, the very end, Buffy is the one who's like, you know, like, I want my mom back, you know, and she's eager to open the door.
When she says mommy,
Yeah. You know, she's ready to just like let down her walls of strength, yeah. and it's just like, I want my mommy. But then Dawn yeah. in that moment is the adult and knows like, we can't do this.
Yeah. So that's a nice wrinkle. But ultimately, yeah. I mean, it's not unexpected. It's the way that these stories play out every time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I guess except with Buffy coming back. Buffy yeah. comes well, back I'll, from the
we'll
dead.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah.
But she's also, she's not completely correct when she comes back either.
Well, she is. I just watched that episode not long ago where she well, wants to know if she came back wrong. But anyway,
well, I'm talking like, about I mean, that later. She's fine, but she's upset about it.
She's psychologically not okay.
Yes.
But physically, she's fine. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so lessons learned. I gave it a 4.5.
Oh, I gave it a... I gave it a 3.5.
They don't learn their lesson because they bring Buffy back.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that until we just talked about it. They don't learn their lesson, do they? I think
well,
Dawn learns a lesson. And that's
yeah,
really what
I
was considering.
More on Dawn, but yeah.
but the rest of them learn nothing.
Do
and
they
by the
even,
rest of them, I mean Willow.
I should remember this, but do they even tell Dawn that they're attempting to bring Buffy back?
I'm not sure. And do they even know that Dawn actually succeeded in bringing Joyce back? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Yeah. Yeah, I give it a 3.5 because it's like Dawn has that minor lesson kind of at the end. But I don't, it well, is kind of minor, I guess.
Well, like I was considering actually yeah. for the reason I gave it a 4.5 is because Dawn has that lesson like about her mom or whatever. But that's not actually, I think, the more important lesson. I think the more important lesson is her and Buffy's sort of breakthrough. Her realization that, like, she and Buffy are different, but both dealing with this in the way that they can.
I've been working. I've been busy because I have to.
No, you've been avoiding me.
I'm not. I have to do these things because when I stop, then she's really gone.
And that, like, she's going about this thing the whole time thinking, I have to do this because Buffy is not going to be there for me. But what she learns through this is that, one, Buffy isn't there for her. Buffy's doing all she can to be there for her. But two, that as much as Buffy needs to be there for her, she needs to be there for Buffy. And they need to work together to get through it.
That is good. Yeah.
So that's why nice. I bumped it up. Because, like, I don't actually think that the lesson is, oh, don't bring people back from the dead.
Well, in the Buffyverse, some of them could stand to learn that lesson.
Some of them could stand to learn that lesson, for real.
Yeah, but, you know, I like that, yeah, because that is kind of what we see at the end there in that moment that we talked about where Dawn takes care of Buffy in that way by getting rid of, like, zombie Joyce and then just being there for her because
right
the truth is Joyce has died and so Buffy and Dawn only have each other
right so, and like yeah. Dawn's outlook through this whole thing is like, why is no one there for me?
Yeah,
but it's like she comes to learn that, like, not only do people need to be there for you, but you need to be there for them, and you need to also be able to realize when they're crying out for help, because like Buffy's whole attitude throughout this is a cry for help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like, Dawn
standing
isn't
at
that
the grave,
young.
Immobile. Yeah.
I mean, like, Dawn isn't, like, 12. She's, like, 16. Like, come on. She has emotional intelligence.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is, like, they... I heard when they first sort of were writing Dawn, they imagined her as being younger. And then it's sort of, you know, considering, like, well, maybe they just didn't really update the writing as well as they should have.
Yeah, that's also possible.
Yeah, because when she's first introduced, especially in season 5, she seems especially, like, juvenile. And it's, like, when you have, like, a teenager or, like, a high schooler acting like a middle schooler, you're like, what is this? Like, I don't want
this. Well, yeah,
this.
Dawn definitely, she acts young for her age and then sometimes, like, very mature.
Right. Yeah.
Well. Anyway. Do you have anything else on lessons?
I don't think so.
All right. So overall, I gave it a 4.5.
Oh, wow. I actually gave it a 3.
Oh, okay. I think it's a strong episode of Buffy. I like it. Not a lot of Xander and Anya, which is good.
Yeah.
Just enough Willow and Tara for my taste. Plenty of very fatherly Giles, which I love.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's doing what they do best in this episode. And I love Spike coming to pay respects to Joyce. That is just so sweet.
Yeah, me too.
I liked the lady. You understand, Monkey Boy? She was decent. She didn't put on airs. She had a nice cuppa for me. And she never treated me like a freak.
Her mistake.
Think what you want.
We have seen Spike and Joyce interact briefly before, and like she was good to him. Like she was nice. Like,
she's a nice lady.
Yeah, and she had nothing against him. Like, you know, in the hierarchies, Spike keeps in his mind of like these humans and how he feels about them. Like Xander is probably the very bottom, and Joyce is near the top. You know, because like she treated him like a person. You know.
So, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Choice. I also, like, and when Willow's like, there's no card, Xander. Like, ugh.
Yeah, to be like, well,
he really wasn't doing it. He really wasn't doing it to get on Buffy's good side. He was really doing it just...
Yeah, just pay respects to the dead.
You know.
Come on. Yeah.
To be a good person. Yeah. And then there's the return of Angel, which, I'm mad on that, honestly.
Yeah, it's not a big deal, to be honest. It's kind of... I mean, I like that they sort of keep that... continuity, I guess, where like Angel and Buffy are it's basically agreed that they're kind of each other's like soulmates, I guess, but like they can't be together, and it's like easier not to even live near each other, but like when big stuff happens,
yeah, they like, show up.
Yeah, like good Angel shows up, like that's good. You know, that then that makes me believe, unlike Buffy's dad, who they can't even reach,
the phone number in Spain is out of service.
So, like, yeah, he, like, left that number a while ago, and they don't even know where he's living, probably. Like, damn.
That's so crazy. Yeah. I mean, I don't have much more to say. I enjoy the episode. I think it's strong. I don't like the glory bits of it, though.
Yeah.
Just not needed. Like, I understand they need to keep that plot line going, but, like, they could have taken, like, a 2-episode reprieve.
There are a lot of episodes. Yeah. I mean, the glory arc really is not in that many episodes of season 5. So, yeah, they could have left out those scenes. But I guess they had to pretend like things were still happening. big, bad things.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts about this because...
Oh, yes.
I have been... As I've mentioned before, I've been sort of rewatching Buffy along with the podcast Buffering the Vampire Slayer, which is great for Buffy fans out there if you want to listen to them. And we're in season 6 right now. So it was especially interesting to see in this episode how I don't even think I really thought much about it before the last time I saw this episode, where like Willow is... Even before she sort of makes that book, like, available to Dawn, you know, like, secret, like, in that conversation they have when...
Oh, yeah, Willow's hype about
Dawn is initially like, I want to bring her back, and Tara's like, no, you absolutely cannot. It, like, focuses on Willow and her, like, hesitancy, where she's basically like, oh, well, I guess it sometimes doesn't work, and there's, well, you know, she's very,
Willow's
like,
we could try, though.
Yeah, like, you see low-key...
Willow's very much, like... Like, we could, though.
Yeah, like, you can tell she doesn't have, like, a strict rule about it the way Tara does.
No. Yeah, Tara's, like, absolutely not. Yeah. And Willow's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, so that's, like, definitely laying the groundwork for the season 6 premiere. So that's amazing.
Yeah. Now, they knew what they were doing. Like, they knew where they were going.
Also, Buffy Yeah, I just recently watched, there's an episode in season 6 where Buffy's like, she is really concerned and she talks to Tara and she asks Tara to do like research or whatever to see like, is there something that went, because she's so depressed, she's like, is there something that went wrong in Willow's spell? Like, did I come back inhuman? Is there something wrong with me? And like, so it's interesting here to see that Buffy kind of internalizing the idea of like people,
yeah,
quote, coming when they back come wrong. Back, they come and then back she uses wrong. That same language in season 6.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wow. And just in general, I realized I don't really like season 5 that much.
Yeah, honest. I mean, the Glory arc is really dumb.
But, like, it's not even in that many episodes. Like, you think it's a big deal, and it's kind of not. And then...
Yeah, but, like, she specifically is so fucking annoying. Like, oh, really? That's my problem with it, is that, like, I really don't like her. Like, she's not an interesting villain. She's not
I think she's at least entertaining.
Oh, I disagree.
Like, I like her more than, like, the Initiative in season 4. To me, they're boring.
Oh, that's true. I forgot that season 4 even exists. I blocked that one out. Riley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I found, now that I'm in season 6, and, like, pretty much season 6, every episode, there's, like, something big happening. And you're like, oh, it's that episode. Oh, it's that episode. And I love that.
Season 6 of Buffy is a bang.
But, like, season 5, there's a lot of, like, I don't know, it's just kind of, like, has a kind of slack pacing, and, like, it's very sad and melancholy throughout, even before Joyce dies, and then she dies,
quiet.
And then it's just...
I think as a season in general, it's quiet.
It is. It really is quiet. Yeah, and I realized, I'm like, you know, it's not my favorite. Like, a lot of people like it, and it does end strong, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since I watched, like, all of Buffy.
I would prefer season 4, even, I think, to 5.
I should, like, do it again soon so I can, like, comment on this with with certainty. But yeah, I remember feeling that way. And, like, the change from, like, season 3 to season, like, 4 and 5 is significant. And then it picks kind of back up at season 6.
Yeah. You know? Season 6 does have a little bit more, like, mission of the week vibe, a little bit.
Yeah, I think they really just didn't know what to do with them going to college. And it took them time to figure that out.
Yeah, because season 6, it's kind of, they like never have scenes on campus anymore.
Yeah, they just like kind of abandon it. They're like, it's been 2 years, whatever. They all dropped out.
They're like adults.
They all dropped out. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think season 6, especially in like watching it, when you know how it works out, like it's actually, like I guess watching it for the first time, you're like, who's the big bad? What's happening? Why is everyone sad? But like, it's, I don't know. I find it really fascinating. And also like...
Yeah, I gotta do a rewatch.
I could go on, but
my friend Maura is watching Buffy for the first time right now, which is amazing to me. She just watched Dawson's Creek for the first time. Now she's doing Buffy.
Oh, nice!
Next up is The OC. I was like,
oh boy,
girl, you are in for treats, treats on treats. Anyway, so I've been. That is all to say that I've been considering rewatching it because. She was just telling me how much she's loving it. She's on like season 3. And I was getting like, oh yeah, it might be time. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, my total is 17.
Oh, I thought it was 17.5.
Oh, it is. It is.
Okay. I think my total is 15.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
I'm not even
16.25.
All right.
That's what my calc says.
All right, then Dickinson it is.
Whoa, way to
claps
go,
for
Emily.
Dickinson.
Yeah.
She's getting the recognition that she wanted.
Yep. So, in the future.
Okay, so should we pick for next time?
We could, except I can't pull up my internet because I can't turn on my data when I'm on a phone call, so I can't pull up the sheet.
Oh. Okay, well then, we won't. It'll be a surprise for the listeners. That's
okay,
fine.
Yeah, it's always a surprise for them.
Anyway, until next time when we do something. talk about some sort of trope, you can find us online at TV Winner Pod on all the social media stuff. You can visit our website, which is in the description. You can find us at our handles, which are also in the description. And you can email us at tvwinnerpod@gmail.com. If you listen and you like what we do, thanks. And also, make sure that you are subscribed. And if you wouldn't mind leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that would be wonderful. You don't have to say anything nice. Just tell us what would you wish for if given a given like a genie wish or a fairy godparent wish, whatever.
Yeah, and do you think you could avoid bad consequences? Yeah.
How would you word it to avoid consequences? Let us know. Right. So with that, until next time when we discuss, I don't know, something, goodbye.
Bye.
The work that we're doing is not about the ego. It's not about who gets the most attention, who gets the most money, or gets to be on the front page. That is not what we are fighting for. Is it?
No.
Is it?
No.
No. What we are doing here is far more important than any of that. What we are doing here is claiming our right to exist.